This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are in a Father's Day message today. Amen. The title of my message is Our Loving Heavenly Father. Amen. That's powerful. And, you know, God is our Heavenly Father. But in the Old Covenant, God was not known as Father God. If you study out the Old Covenant, in 1 Samuel 3:9, it says here, Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, talking about the Lord, that you may say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down to his place. So this is a place where Samuel was being raised up by Eli, and he was hearing from the Lord. But notice he said, My servant, tell the Lord, my servant. You know, I'm going to say this today. You're not just servants. You're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. Amen? In Psalms 89, it gives a glimpse of fatherhood in the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is like, it's a shadow of things to come. And so in Psalms 89, 24, he says, But my faithfulness and my mercy, talking about King David, shall be with him. And my name and his horn shall be exalted, and I will set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers, and he shall cry to me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I also will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. Now you can even put your name in there because you are covenant with the Most High God. And God's covenant will stand firm with you. Amen? So in the Old Testament, they were servants of God, but in the New Testament, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's powerful. That's powerful. In Galatians 4, 6, and 7, it says, Because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit and His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. I love that. Another scripture talking about the fatherhood of God is in 1 John. It says here in 1 John 3, 1 and 3, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. Has not yet been revealed that we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. Underline that, we shall be like Him. Amen? For we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies Himself just as He is pure. So this is saying that God wants us to be just like Him. Amen? And He wants us to be like Him. Amen? And really, the character of God is really the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the character of God. In Galatians 5:23, because I'm going to take the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit and apply them to God this morning. And it says here in Galatians 5:22-23, But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. So this is the fruit of the Spirit that every believer should walk in. And this is really the character of God. If you think about God, the first thing you should think about, as it describes in the fruit, is that God is love. God is love. You got to get a revelation of that. And so even as natural fathers, you got to see yourself as a loving father to your children. Amen. And see, and I love that because it says here in 1 John 4:16, it says that we have known and believed the love that God has for us, that God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. That's awesome. That's awesome because when we abide in God's love, we're actually abiding in God. And God doesn't just have love. He is love personified. That's powerful. The greatest expression of God's love for us is free will. I'm going to say it again. God loves us so much that he doesn't violate our free will. God doesn't force us to serve him. He leads and guides us and gives us freedom of choice. That's awesome. God doesn't want to control us. The devil tries to control people, but God gives us freedom and liberty. I mean, that was awesome about my father and my mother. They never tried to tell us, you know, what occupation to go in or how to live our life. Amen. Some parents will try to mold their children into making them, you know, be what they want them to be. But my father was very open, allowed us to go the way we felt like that God was leading us. Amen. So the power of choice is in God's divine love. God is infinite. And in his wisdom, he gives us power to make our own decisions and choices. In Deuteronomy, this is a powerful scripture. It says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you. This is Deuteronomy 30:19, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you, both you and your descendants may live. So he's saying here, even in the Old Testament, they had a choice to either serve other gods or to serve God Almighty. And God, I'm going to say this, you want to be serving God. You don't want to be serving anything else but God Almighty. As a good Heavenly Father, God wants us serving him out of love and devotion, making decisions for him, amen, and not against him. As God's Father raises children, as godly fathers, you need to raise your children in love and instruction in the admonition of the Lord. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, as you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So we don't want to get our kids angry. Glory to God. We want to walk in love. We want to give them freedom of choice. We want to make sure that you're raising them up and encourage them to make godly choices for their life. Our Heavenly Father is a Father of joy. A lot of people don't think that, but the Bible actually said that God sits on his throne and he laughs. He laughs his enemies to derision. So joy, really, God's not a mad God. God's not a sad God. God is a glad God. Can I get a witness in the house today? And what is he joyful over? He's joyful over you. He loves you. He's joyful over each one of you, his creation. We are his highest creation. We are in a category higher than the angels. Some people say, I'm going to die and become an angel. That would be a demotion. Amen. When I die, I'm going to become an angel. Some teaching, some people teach that. But that would be a demotion because we are on a higher plane because we are made in God's image and in God's likeness. Is that awesome? So we're greater than the angels. Especially when we get our glorified bodies, we'll be even stronger and better than the angels. You believe that today? And in Zephaniah, which is a minor prophet, he says here, it's only three chapters, but he says something very powerful. He says, the Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one who save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. This is a great scripture that reveals the Father's love for us. I like that because, first of all, he says, Father God is a mighty God, and he's mighty to save. That's powerful. So God, our Heavenly Father, has a desire to rescue and save us. And as natural fathers, we should have an inclination, we should have a desire to rescue our children and to help them make right choices for their lives. Amen? I love that. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Talking about delivering. He's a delivering, a mighty God to save. And so he will establish us. And he will guard us from the evil one. That's a good scripture there. the Father God rejoices over us with gladness. Have you ever thought about that? That God thinks about us and he rejoices over us with gladness. In other words, God is happy that we're in the kingdom. He's happy even though we may not do everything right. God's not focused on what you're doing wrong. He's focused on what you're doing right. You got to get a revelation of that. The devil will focus on your wrongs. God will focus on what is right in your life. Amen. Do you believe that today? And I love that. So Father God rejoices over us with gladness. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" Each one of us have been drawn closer to God by his loving kindness. And I'm telling you, when God drew me, I was not that nice of a person. Amen. And when he drew you, you probably didn't have it all together. Maybe you had some issues and some problems, but he took you in anyway. He loved you in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your foolish acts at times. He loves you anyway. That's powerful. And sometimes you got to love your children in spite of how they treat you. Amen. Sometimes they don't treat you too nice. But you got to love them anyway. Amen. Sometimes they don't, you know, you ask them to do something and they take an hour to do it. Have you ever asked your children to do something and they take their sweet little time? Amen. Glory to God. And so Father God will quiet us and give us peace with his love. That's what he says here, that he will quiet us with his love. In other words, eternal presence is his peace in our lives. And Psalms 147:14 says, "He makes peace in your borders, and he fills you with the finest of wheat." That's powerful. In other words, God will give you something good to eat, like the fathers received today in the gifts. Amen. And so that's powerful. So he will give you peace in your borders, glory to God. And Father God rejoices over you with singing. That's powerful. You know, I think about that. The Bible talks about that if one sinner repents, all of heaven has a party. Have you ever noticed that? When one person repents and turns to God, the angels rejoice in heaven. I'm going to say this, God is rejoicing over you. He's singing over you. He loves you. When you get a revelation of that love for you, it's not going to be hard to serve and love God. Amen. I love that. And it says in Psalms 147:11, "The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and in those who hope in his mercy." How many people fear or reverence God in here? I believe all of you do. And how many of you are hoping in his mercy? Amen. Amen. We hope in his mercy. And that's powerful. So as godly fathers, we should be joyful over our children, being positive in everything, in the good things that they do. Amen. And so we should have a desire to protect and to bring peace into our children's life. Our Heavenly Father is a Father of peace. Now, I know when you read the Old Testament and you hear, you know, a lot of things going on, people dying, plagues and all this, and war and all that. Well, you know, a lot of times the people brought it on themselves. They opened the door. They quit worshiping God. They started worshiping other idols, and God warned them that other armies would come in and take them away, like the Babylonian army. So God was always warning people that if they did wrong, that bad things will happen. He would warn us and he would warn them. But he doesn't want bad things. Like in Nineveh, they were doing a lot of bad things, but he raised up Jonah the prophet to preach to them so they could repent, so that he wouldn't have to have judgment on their lives. So God wants us walking in peace, and God wants us judging ourselves so we won't be judged. Amen. Amen. You believe that today? And so when we are walking in a place in God where we're trying to please Him in all that we do, it should bring peace into our lives. Amen. Amen. Sin will take away peace out of your life. Amen. I've been there. I've been in sin before. And I'm telling you, I had very little peace when I was living a little bit in God and a little bit in the world. And you can't live a little bit in God and a little bit in the world and still have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding in your life. Jesus actually says it this way in John 14:27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus walked in that God kind of peace. And he said that peace that Jesus walked in, you can walk in as well. Do you believe that today? And in 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and everywhere. The Lord be with you all." So I don't know about you, but I want peace always and I want peace everywhere in my life. How many people want peace always and everywhere in your life? In Romans 16:20, it says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." So the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Satan, you could say, is connected to anything that's coming against your life. If it's disease, God will crush disease under your feet. If it's poverty, because Satan is behind poverty, God will crush poverty under your feet. Do you believe that today? "And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." And we're going to be fathers. We need to imitate God, and we must walk in God's peace. We can't allow the things of this life to rock our worlds. Amen. So we have to maintain our peace no matter what is the turmoil in us. Amen. How do we do that? How do we maintain our peace when all chaos is breaking loose in the household? Amen. That's the question. Amen. Well, there's a great scripture in James, and it says this way, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So if we're going to maintain peace in our households, men, I'm talking to you, and ladies, you can receive it as well. Amen. You're going to have to learn to be swift to hear. You're going to have to learn to be quick to hear. God gave us two ears and one mouth. There's a reason for that. That means we should listen twice as much then we talk. Amen. Two ears, one mouth. Amen. Amen. So swift to hear is really, it will give you a heart of understanding. When you learn to step back and you're swift to hear, you know, you will receive a heart of understanding. Solomon prayed a prayer in 1 Kings 3:9. He says, "Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" So Solomon was coming to a place of being a king over Israel, and he asked for an understanding heart. I'm going to say this, fathers, pray for an understanding heart, to be understanding, to be an understanding person for your children, amen? Understand their point of view, amen? The next thing you need to do, if you're going to walk in peace, first, be swift to hear. Number two, be slow to speak. Slow to speak. You know, we sometimes we are quick to spout off when wrong things are happening. Have you ever been there? And we're quick to say what our emotions and our mind is trying to press us to say. But we need to learn to hold our tongues. Amen. And, you know, there's a saying, loose lips sink ships. Amen. And we don't want our lips to be loose. We need to learn to control what comes out of our mouth. In Proverbs 10:19, it says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Wow. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Sometimes it's good just not to say anything. Sometimes when your spouse is talking to you and they're being disagreeable, sometimes it's better just not to say anything. instead of trying to win the argument. Amen. Just don't say it. Don't feed into it. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Just don't feed into the emotions. Amen. Vice versa too. I mean, it could work for ladies too. If the man's trying to get cantankerous. Amen. Sometimes it's better not to say anything. Can I get a witness in the house today? And then that would give us time to respond. We need to be slow to wrath. So he's saying here, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And it says in Proverbs 14:29, I'm talking about peace this morning. I'm talking about this is peace. If you want to walk in peace, amen, that you follow these things. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath so you can walk in that peace. In other words, count to 10. Some of you might need to count to 1,000. But count. Do some counting before you let it loose. Amen. And it says, he who is, in Proverbs 14:29, it says, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Amen. So these are some key points in helping you maintain your peace in God. And also, peace comes through being a prayer warrior. If you learn to pray, that's giving your problems to God and picking up God's promises. That's what prayer is, giving your problems to God. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, and He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. That's powerful. So in prayer, we want to cast our cares, our anxieties, our worries on the Lord. Why? Because He cares for us. The devil will try to make you think God doesn't really care. But God cares about everything that you deal with. Amen. Another weapon that's big in walking in the peace of God is praise. Amen. So praising God is a great way. Nothing is to start praising God for His bigness. Start praising God that He can, nothing's too hard for Him. Start praising God that He can do the impossible. And when you start praising Him, He can do the impossible, even with your disobedient children. Boy, it's quiet in here. God can do the impossible, even with some of your children that may not be walking with Him right yet. Do you believe that today? Amen. And you at one time weren't walking with the Lord. So you got to remember those days. Amen. And I love that. It says here in Jeremiah 33:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Nothing's too hard for God. If God can turn around the Apostle Paul, who persecuted the church and made him the number one apostle, amen, in the New Testament, God can turn around your children. He can turn around your spouse. He can whatever you're believing God to do, He can do it. Amen. Somebody say, nothing's too hard for God. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So all things are possible to those that believe. Our Heavenly Father is a Father of patience. Amen. When you think of God, do you think about Him being patient? Glory to God. He's very patient with us. And we need to learn to be patient with our children as well and our spouses. Glory to God. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's a powerful scripture saying that God's not slack concerning His promise. Jesus is coming back sooner than we think. I'm telling you, he'll be here before you know it. But God is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That could be some of your children, some of your relatives, to come in to the kingdom of God. And he's waiting. Amen. In Psalms 103, 8 through 11, it says, the Lord is compassionate. Talk about our Heavenly Father of patience. He is gracious. He is slow in anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse us, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Glory to God. God loves you. And he's compassionate over you this morning. And we need to be compassionate people as well. God admonishes us to be patient. He says in Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Amen? In Colossians 3:12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Glory to God. That's powerful. So he's saying here, as dearly loved children of God, we need to be compassionate. We need to be kind. We need to be humble. We need to be gentle. We need to be patient. And that's not always easy. Amen. That's not always easy. And the next attribute of God is God is kind. God is kind. Amen. I love that, the kindness of our Heavenly Father. And he is a kind Heavenly Father. It says in Proverbs 20:28, mercy and truth preserves the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. Think about that. Think about it. That's powerful. Notice, mercy and truth preserves the king, but loving kindness upholds his throne. I'm telling you, you could apply that to earthly fathers. Mercy and truth will preserve your household. And by loving kindness, your household will be established. Can I get a witness in the house today? Father God is a God of mercy. He is a God of mercy. You got to believe that today. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He will comfort us. He's a God of mercies. Father God is a God of truth. Amen. If we're gonna walk in this, our households, fathers, we need to be merciful and we need to walk in the truth. Amen. Glory to God. And it says here in John 8:31, 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John, Jesus was praying a priest called the priestly prayer in John 17, and he says this, praying to the Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So how are we sanctified? By God's truth. That's why you need to be reading your Bibles. That's why you need to be studying the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth and will bring us into a place of truth. Amen. Talking about God's kindness, in Titus it says, when the kindness of the Lord, Titus 3, 4, and 7, when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Notice, his kindness does not come through the works of righteousness that we do. That's powerful. That's powerful. It's not coming by the works of righteousness we do, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So his kindness is coming because of his mercy and not because of how good we are. Ooh, I'm going somewhere this morning. It's not because how great you are, how good you are, how perfect you are. It's because of his mercy. Thank God for that. Because if it wasn't for his mercy, I couldn't stand up here today. Amen. Because you're looking at a flawed pastor. I have issues. You just don't see them. I look all polished up here. But you're not living with me every day. God is. Amen. My wife is. Ask my wife. She'll let you know I'm a flawed man. I have issues. Amen. But somebody say, by His mercy. Amen. He has saved us. Amen. Through the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He has poured out to us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Powerful. That's powerful. That's glory to God. That means that Jesus paid the price, and all we have to do is walk in Jesus, love God, love people, and we'll receive the blessings of heaven in our lives. That's powerful. And it says here in Ephesians 4:32, an admonition here, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. So he's saying here in Ephesians that we need to be kind. Amen. To one another. I want to encourage fathers and saints, be kind to your children and people around you. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen. Our Heavenly Father is a Father of goodness. God is good. Can I get a witness in the house today? Regardless of the bad that might be coming in our life. They might be evil coming into our life, but God is good. He's not bringing the evil in our lives. God's bringing all good gifts, the Bible says, comes from the Father of light above, and there's no variable shadow of turning. In other words, all good things come from God, bad things come from the devil. Sickness comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God to teach you something. Poverty comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God to teach you something. Amen. Somebody say, God is good. And God is good, and His goodness is in His justice. And His justice was Jesus going to the cross for our sins. Jesus was a just sacrifice so that we can walk in the love and the blessings of God. In Isaiah 61:8, it says, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In all my faithfulness, I reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. So this is powerful. If we're going to be godly fathers, we're going to have to walk a just life before God. In other words, try to do everything right, even though you may not do everything right. But that should be your focus. Try to do everything right every day. Go for a goal. I'm going to do the right things today. I'm not going to do the wrong things today. Amen. And live your life pleasing to God. Our Heavenly Father has a goodness standard, and that's justice. And He will make sure everything will turn out right in our lives, even when unjust things are happening. Remember Joseph? His life was full of unjust things, but God made it right in Joseph's life. Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. But God made it right when all the wrong things were happening. And I'm going to say this to you today. Wrong things might happen in your life, but God is a just God, and God will make it right eventually. Amen. Do you believe that today? Yes. Amen. I love that. So as fathers, we need to make sure that we're walking right before our spouse, our children, doing the right things, being a great example. In Romans 12:9, it says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. In Romans 12:21, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen? The devil will try to draw us into areas that will cause problems in our lives. Don't let that devil do that. In other words, shut him down. Overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it's easy, but through prayer, through seeking God, through reading the Word, coming to church, getting the Word, you're going to be able to get better. Somebody say, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. You are getting better. You're not getting worse. Hallelujah. I'm looking at a congregation that's getting better and not worse. Amen. Amen. Our Heavenly Father is a Father of faithfulness. When you think about God, you think about Him being faithful. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is coming back. And on His thigh is written, faithful and true. Glory to God. And so God is faithful and true, glory to God. In Psalms 83, it says, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor I will alter the word that goes out of my lips." You can count on God's word. You can count that God's word is true regardless of what the circumstances look like. You can count that God is a faithful God, and he will make sure the right things will happen in your life. Amen? Glory to God. In Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he's the one who goes with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you." Talking about God's faithfulness. God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He's with you to the very end. You got to believe that today. And he's not going to leave you alone. If you're going in some wrong areas, God's going to keep working on you to get you back into the right areas of your life. You believe that today? God is a faithful God. He's faithful. And faithfulness is always tested in hard times. Faithfulness, it's easy to be faithful when there's good times, but it's hard to be faithful in hard times. Is that right? And that's when our faithfulness is tested, is in the hard times. In Revelation 2:10, glory to God, it says here, "Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Amen. This is powerful. I love this because some people believe that God's doing everything if you're in prison because God's willed it. No, it's the devil. It says the devil will throw some of you in prison, not God. Amen. So God, just because you're in a circumstance or a situation, it doesn't mean that God is behind it. Sometimes the devil is working against us. But it's, notice here, it says here that you will be tested. But if you continue to stay faithful, you will receive the crown of life. I want to encourage fathers and saints, stay faithful no matter what it looks like. God is a God of gentleness. He is gentle. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit represents God the Father in our life. And the Holy Spirit will not push himself on us. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. So if we're being led by the Holy Spirit, it should bring a gentle spirit into our lives. Can I get a witness in the house today? It's all connected to the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 11:29-30, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Notice Jesus said that I'm gentle and lowly in heart. He was gentle. He was meek. He was power under control. That's what meekness is. Power under control. Jesus was meek, and he was a powerful man altogether. Amen? Meek and powerful. And you can be meek and powerful at the same time. I like what it says in Proverbs 15:1. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Gentleness is also connected. So this is in our relationships. When there's a harsh word being said, be gentle. In other words, speak softly. You start speaking softly, the other person will tone it down as well, hopefully. Glory to God. I'm saying hopefully. Amen. Gentleness is connected to godly wisdom. Gentleness is connected to godly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So we see here that if we're going to walk in gentleness, that's connected to the wisdom of God. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? So I want to encourage fathers to be gentle. Don't always try to rule the house with an iron fist. Try it with a velvet glove. Amen. Try ruling and reigning with a velvet glove, not an iron fist. Amen? Can I get a witness in the house today? Hallelujah. And the Heavenly Father is a God of restraint and control. You believe that today? In other words, God has the power to wipe us out anytime He wants to. He can wipe us out if He wanted to. Why? Why you say that, Pastor? Because He's creator. He makes the rules. And whatever He does is right. And if He wants to wipe us out, He can. But He doesn't. Amen? Why? Because He loves us. Amen? He wanted to wipe out the Israelites at one time when they were worshiping the golden calf. And Moses said, don't wipe them out. He wanted to start over again. He said, I'll start over with you, Moses. And Moses said, don't do that. Then all the world would say you brought them out into the desert to kill them. And then God relented and said, okay, I won't wipe them out. What am I saying? God controlled Himself. God controlled, even though He wanted to. Start over with Moses. And sometimes you want to start your family over. Amen? But I'm telling you, don't be trying to start your family over. Glory to God. Amen. Stick with them and it will come to pass. Finally, that generation made it into the promise. The next generation made it into the promised land. Amen. In Psalms 103, it says here, talking about that God doesn't wipe us out because He's controlled. He says, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As fathers and people of God, we need to be self-controlled and not allow our emotions and our passions to get the best of us. Amen? In Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. I'm preaching to myself today. Glory to God. Amen? It says, a fool vents all his feelings. We don't want to be foolish in venting our feelings. Amen? If you're wise, you'll hold them back. In Proverbs 25:28, it says, whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. That means if you have no self-control, then you're free gain for the devil to access in your life. If you don't control your passions, if you don't control your emotions, you are opening the door for the devil to come in and to destroy your lives. Can I get a witness in the house today? And we're going to have self-control. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we discovered today that the Heavenly Father is love. He's joy. He's peace. He's patient. He's kind. He's good. He's faithful. He's gentle. And He is self-controlled. Glory to God. And if we walk in these qualities, I'm telling you, we're not going to only be great fathers for the fathers out here, but we'll be great people in the kingdom of God. Did you receive it today? I know you did. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your mercies and Your goodness and Your love today. I thank You for those that are here in the audience, those that are watching. And perhaps God is not your Heavenly Father. Perhaps you've never received Jesus. The only way He can become your Heavenly Father is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're ready to make God your Heavenly Father, just pray this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive You as my Lord and Savior. Thank You for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. If you're here locally, come on out. We'd love for you to be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home so you can grow in your walk with Christ. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.